Anyway, getting back to today, we're nearing the end of our series, The Gospel, Life in Six Words. Today, we're rounding it off with the last letter, L. But we're gonna finish the series next week with something, but we're finishing all six of the letters today. I wanted to show you that video because that was kind of where it all came from. They brought it all together. This book that you can no longer get, for whatever reason, a lot of what he was saying and sharing, they put into this book and visualized into this book, and just, it's an awesome thing. And so I wanted to share that with you because, again, it's a very, very powerful presentation of the gospel and helps unpack a little bit what we are doing through this series. And what we're trying to do is equip you, encourage you to go and to share the gospel, to really preach the gospel, to be able to have the tools to do it confidently and do it wherever you're at. And we've given you guys these bracelets to help you remember the six words and to share the six words, even giving someone a bracelet and explaining that to them what that means. We still have plenty of these bracelets. They're over by the VIP area if you want to grab a couple, one for yourself and some to give away. I would encourage that. So here's what we're going to do. We've been doing this every single week. I want to recap all six of the letters. So we'll start with G. That is that God created us to be with him. He created us for relationship. He created us in his image and for a purpose, and it was with him, and that was his ultimate design, and that's what he wants. He wants a relationship with you. And so he created us to be with him. However, our sin entered in. And when sin entered in, as sin does, it separated us from him because he is holy, he is righteous, and sin separates us from him. So sin is what separates us from God, from relationship with God. And though, try as we may, sin cannot be removed by our good deeds or anything that we do. We can't do anything to pay the price of sin. It's not up to us. However, paying the price for sin, Jesus, he died and he rose again. And with that, he has resurrection life, and he gives resurrection life to everyone. And everyone who believes, who trusts in him as Lord and Savior, will have eternal life. And that life, it lasts now, or it starts now and it lasts forever. So God, our sins, paying everyone life. And it's my hope that that has kind of just been entered into your mind and your brain, and you're memorizing that and learning that. I told my kids if they wanted a bracelet, they had to know what the bracelet meant and be ready to share what the bracelet is on their wrist. And that's the reality. We want to be able to walk through the gospel with people. If someone notices, if someone asks, we say, well, let me tell you about these six words that can change your life and it give you eternal life. And that's what we're doing today, ending it out with the L. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And really, that is the good news of the gospel, right? It's eternal life. It's a resurrection life. It's a life that we are given here and now, and that we will have for all of eternity with him. In 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, it says, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I want to unpack this statement, unpack kind of a little bit of John 5 and some 1 John 5 and some other verses from the book of John as well. But before I do that, would you guys pray with me? God, we are so thankful to gather together. We are thankful for the breath that you give us and all the goodness that you give us. We're thankful for friends and for family and for this church family. God, that we can come here and worship you and praise your name and even cry out to you and seek you out and intercede for others on their behalf. God, right now we have entered into your presence. Your Spirit is with us. Allow him to move. Allow him to speak. God, let me be a vessel for your Spirit and for your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so eternal life, it starts now and it lasts forever. So we're going to break this down into two things. We're going to look at it first and foremost that it's now. Eternal life is now. And then we're going to look at it that it lasts forever. So eternal life is now. And here's why eternal life is now. It's now because it's something that is relational and it's daily. Eternal life is something that we do with God every single day. Because if you think about it, healthy relationships require what? They require daily communication, daily conversation, daily interaction. If we want to have good, healthy relationships, there is an exchange between two people. And the same is true between you and God. There's something that we are given. We're given access to God through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, and we're brought back into relationship with him right now. Because what did he create us for? He created us to be with him. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. He wants us to be in relationship with him, and we're given that access through the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with God right here and right now. John 6, verse 47, it says, "He who believes in me as Savior, whoever adheres to, trusts in, relies on, and has faith in me, already has eternal life." That is, now possesses it. And what's really, really key here is that in John chapter 6 and in 1 John chapter 5, there's a key word, and it says has. They already have eternal life. And if we had something, we had something now. Okay, sorry, that was really improper, but I just wanted to jokingly say that. But in all seriousness, eternal life isn't something that we get after we die. Eternal life is something that we are given now. The moment that we believe, and this is what, you know, 1 John and John are saying, when we believe in Jesus and in him alone, we are given eternal life right now. When we profess and confess that he is Lord and Savior of our life, that is the moment of salvation and that is the moment of eternal life. It's not something we're waiting to experience one day. We get it here and now because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when he went, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And too many Christians are so focused on the promise of heaven one day that they forget to live out the promise of heaven, eternal life here and now. That they forget that their eternal life is starting at the moment they give their life to Jesus. It's a new life. It's a resurrected life. And it's not a resurrected life that waits for you to die. It's a resurrected life that brings you back from the death to live out your life in the here and now for his glory. Now, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the definition of heaven for me is simply being with God. It's being with God. It's being in relationship with God. Again, why did God create us? He created us to be with him. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And in the Garden of Eden, it was a paradise. And do you know why it was a paradise? Because it was with God. And it was unstained, untainted from sin. And that's the paradise, and it's with God. And so the very meaning of heaven is, for me, is being with God. And it's something that we get now, again, because of Jesus and giving us access to the Holy Spirit. And then we get it for all of eternity. But it's a relationship that you and I have access to right here and right now. In Revelation 21, verse 3, it said, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And I see that there's heaven right there. Who is he with? Humanity. Who does he dwell with? Us. Where is he? He's with us. And where God is, that is where heaven is. That is where eternal life resides, where he is present in our lives. Matthew 6, 9 says, "Your kingdom done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's he saying? So it's not just where God is in heaven and he's waiting for us. No, he's coming down. He's with us. He is indwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have eternal life right here and right now. You see, we're reconciled and redeemed. Not just to bide our time here on earth. Just enduring until one day we're taken into heaven and that's where we receive eternal life. No. Eternal life happens right here and right now. We're called to live that out joyfully, just with passion and love for who he is and what he's done, and we're called to share that as well. In John 5, verse 24, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me," there's the word again, "has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And so what does Jesus do? He reiterates here, or in John, what is it? Yeah, Jesus reiterates what, when someone believes in him as Lord and Savior, he or she has eternal life. He doesn't say they will have eternal life one day when they die. No, he says they have. And I love the last line. It says what? That they have crossed over from death to life. We've crossed over from living in sin, which we know leads to death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. And so the moment that we repent, and repentance is turning from our sin and turning back to God and submitting to Him, the moment that we leave that life behind, we leave death and we step into eternal life right here and right now. Corrie Ten Boom said this. It says, you know, eternal life does not start when we go to heaven. It starts at the moment you reach out to Jesus. Because it's in Him that we find resurrection life. It's in Him that we find eternal life. It's in Him that we find hope and we find purpose. And we're reconciled back to God. And that is how He created us to be. And in that life, when we step into that life, do you know what God wants us to experience? Life to the full. An abundant life. Not a life of waiting to one day experience heaven and eternal life, but to experience it right here and right now. John 10:10. The thief comes to what? To kill and destroy. That's what sin is all about. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Some say have it abundantly. Now, in the New Testament, there are three Greek words for life. There's bios, which is the physical life. It's a biology life. There is psuchē, which is the psyche. It's kind of the soul or the mind in our life. And then there's zoe. And zoe is a divine or eternal life. And it's really interesting that there's three different representations of life. And there's the physical, and there's the mind or the spirit, and there's the divine. And then you begin to think about the Holy Trinity, right? And what do we have? We have Jesus, who came down to this earth, took on what? Physical form. And in that, he went through and endured all that we go through and lived a perfect, sinless life. So we have the physical representation of God in Jesus. And then when Jesus left, he gave us what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to, you know, help the mind. And then the final one is that divine. It's that eternal life that we get in God. And it's just really neat to look at it in that light where you see God, three in one, the physical, the spirit, and the divine. And so Jesus shows that example. And in an article I was reading on Bibles for America, it says this: no one has divine life or Zoe life when they're born. We don't have that. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive Christ into us, and we're born again. We are given that divine life. And when we realize that Christ's desire for us to have His divine, eternal Zoe life, and even have it abundantly, what we will do is we will focus on enjoying Him in our spirit. And we do this by studying God's Word, by spending time in prayer, and experiencing Him day by day. It's that relational, daily acts aspect of eternal life. And as we enjoy eternal life today, here and now, that we receive, that life will increase within us, and little by little, we will begin to express Christ in our lives to others. We'll begin to share the eternal life, the hope that we have found in Christ. And so there comes a point in our Christian lives where we must realize that salvation is more than just getting your ticket punched to heaven. It's not just some act where He says, oh, okay, we have this option. I can go to hell or I can go to heaven. I'm going to choose heaven, right? Cool, punch that off and now I can just go on living my life. That's not eternal life. That's not what it's talking about. It's experiencing eternal life in Christ, a reliance and a surrender, a full surrender to His Lordship and to Him as our Savior. And that's where we experience Zoe life, where we experience that abundant life that He has for us now. In John chapter 17, verse 3 will be on the screen, but not 15 through 17, but I'm gonna read all of it to you. It says, now this is eternal life, talking about that Zoe life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In verse 15, it says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In verse 18, so key, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And so we have Jesus who came to give us eternal life. And as He gives us that eternal life, guess what He does? He sends us out into the world to help others gain access to it. To do what? To preach the gospel, to preach the good news so that others can grab hold of the eternal life that God has for them right here and right now. And it's all about experiencing Him in all that we do. I'm getting ready to start a small group on Saturday mornings at 12. called The Seven Realities of Experiencing God. It's a study that I've done before. A couple of guys have gone through. The women have gone through. It's phenomenal. But this study is just that. It's all about experiencing that eternal life that God has for you right now. And at the core of it, guess what? It's relationship. Here's what Henry Blackaby says in Experiencing God. God's plan for the advancement of his kingdom depends on his relationship with his people. It's not, God's plan for the advancement of his kingdom isn't, hey, let's get people to heaven one day. No, it's to send you out to show them heaven here and now, to show them that eternal life that you have been given. So when are we called to experience God? Now. Man, when, how, what, and where God wants you to experience him is right now. He has a purpose for you by his Spirit right here and right now. So eternal life, it starts now because it's relational and it's daily. It's something that God wants you to have every single day of your life while you're here on this earth. And he wants you to experience it to its fullest capacity with purpose and love and grace. And as we live out that Zoe life, that eternal life daily, we're called to share it. We're called to share the gospel with others. And if you're living this out and if you're going to him and you're looking at Jesus' life in the word and you're modeling your life after him, man, people should begin to see the gospel in your actions and in your words and in your reactions. The Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit should begin to overflow out of you into all that you do. And now, we're not perfect. We still mess up. So I'm not saying that you're going to go and live some sinless life, but man, what really identifies you is the Spirit, and that you are, when you sin, you have repentance. And so the Zoe life should come out in just your actions. But we're also called to share the good news that has been shared with us in one way or another so that others can experience that Zoe life as well. John 17:4 says this, I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work that you gave to me. And so what Jesus did is he came and he completed this work and he gave us all eternal life, and he gives us the same challenge. As we experience eternal life and we're given new life and we're given new purpose in God, we're called to complete the work that God has for us right now. And it may look different for all of us, but here's what I know. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, every single one of us is tasked with, commanded with, sharing the good news with others, in word or in deed. And that is something that we're all called to, and that happens right here and right now. So, eternal life starts with relationship here and now. That's the first part. And then the other part is that it lasts for all of eternity. And this is an amazing promise, right? So, our relationship with God, and this is important, it's personal. He's not just some God up in it. It's a personal thing. It's a relational thing because he created us to be with him. So it's personal. And then the other promise is that it's permanent. When you trust, when you believe, when you confess, when you profess that Jesus is both Lord and Savior of our life, you are brought into eternal life for the here and now, and you are promised eternity forever with him. And that's an amazing promise. And I'm not sure of this because of anything that I do. I'm not sure of this because of any of my deeds. Like, I don't have the promise of eternal life because I did a few things and checked off a list or whatever because I went to church every Sunday. No. It's not the promise isn't something that I'm holding on to because of what I did, but it's by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the promise that I have. That's the hope that I have. I know that my sin separates me, and there's nothing I can do to change that. And so God sent Jesus, and he took my place. And it's his sacrifice and his resurrection life that gives me that promise. It's not by what I do, it's by what Jesus has done that I rely on this promise that I have eternity with him one day. I believe in that, and I'm living my life out on this earth in that eternal life. It's not by my promise, but it's by God's promises, what he promised to us. And here's promise. I'm going to give you two promises. Promise number one, we can't be unadopted from God's family. You know, the scripture is clear. When God sent Jesus and he gave us the Spirit, he adopted each of us into his family. We are all sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. when we profess and confess that, we are his sons and daughters. We actually went through this when we were studying Galatians in our Preach Grace series, how we talked about we are heirs. And as heirs, we get what is ours. We get to share in his glory. We get to share in that eternal life. And here's what it says in Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. And nothing can take that from you. Now, if you know me, you know my family. Adoption's a big part of my family. And it's a part of the DNA of our church. And we love adoption, and we love foster care and relative care. But adoption, that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. But let me just tell you, adoption into God's family, now that's an eternal deal. That's something that is so much grander, so much bigger, because he calls and he sends Jesus to who? To everyone. And those who profess and confess and believe as Jesus as Lord and Savior, they enter in as sons and daughters. And that is a huge deal because we become heirs to the throne. What an amazing promise, right? That we're his sons, we're his daughters, and nothing can take that from you. Do you understand me? Nothing can take that from you. It's a promise that cannot be taken. A lady named Ellen Maddie wrote an article on adoption in ancient Rome, kind of around this time, and it kind of helps understand the power and the permanence of being adopted. So here's what it says. I'm just going to read it to you word for word. In ancient Rome, adoption had a powerful meaning. Now, when a child was born biologically, the parents had the option of disowning the child for a variety of reasons. The relationship, therefore, was not necessarily desired by the parent, nor permanent. Not so, however, if a child was adopted. In Rome, adopting a child meant the child was freely chosen by the parents and desired by the parents. The child would be a permanent part of the family. Parents couldn't disown a child they adopted. An adopted child received a new identity. Any prior commitments, responsibilities, and debts, they were erased. New rights and responsibilities were taken on. Also, in ancient Rome, the concept of inheritance was a part of life, not something that began of death. And we talk about that. Well, God takes us in. What does he do? He gives us a new identity, a resurrected life. He takes all of our sin and casts it far as east is from the west. And he says, forget that. Don't live in the past. You are now my son and my daughter, and you are an heir to my throne, and you have all the life, the eternal life that I give you. Here's what it said. Being adopted made someone an heir to the Father, joint sharers in all his possessions, fully united to him. And nothing can take that away. It is permanent. It could not be reversed. And so at the moment of salvation, you and I were adopted by God our Father. We become heirs, and we receive eternal life now, and we have the promise of eternal life one day when we leave this earth. So that's the first promise. You were adopted, and nothing can take that away. The second promise, that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory." So it's sealed. The Spirit that is in you, that is the how we are reconnected to God, and that Spirit is our redemption. And it's been sealed by him. It's been sealed by his blood. Jesus already paid the penalty. He paid the price, and he's victorious. And he gave you the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit within you makes you a son and a daughter, and it seals that until the day that you meet him one day. Now, to further illustrate this, I want to do a little something. Anyone willing to give me their driver's license? Anyone at all? Just come give me your driver's license. First person. And then I need your social security and your bank routing info. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just your driver's license. Thank you. Lynn, all right. You guys want all his information? I'm just kidding. Okay. So let's pretend that this letter is going to heaven. All right, we're addressing that directly to God. And it's going to go to heaven. It's going to make its way there. And we're going to pull this little deal off of here. And we're going to seal this. And this is kind of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit envelops you and has you and keeps you until the day of redemption. And so we're going to take this and we're going to send this. And it's going to make its way to heaven. And nothing can stop that. And there's only one person that can break this seal, and that's God and God alone. And so at the moment that we got Lynn believed, at the moment that Lynn said, I believe Jesus is who he said he is. I believe that he died on the cross. He took my place. He paid the penalty for sin. I believe that, and I surrender my life to him. The moment he did that, he put himself in this envelope, and he was sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nothing can take that away. And so the destination is heaven. The recipient is the Father, and in his care, it's secure in Christ. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Nothing can take that from him. Here you go, Lynn. I'm going to give this back to you. You can go ahead and ship that out, and you'll be guaranteed into heaven. That's not how it works. That's just an illustration. That's really bad theology, but it was just an illustration. So there you go, buddy.
Okay, God opened
it. Oh. Yeah, you can't. Sorry, your driver's license is sealed in there forever. You got to get a new one. But that's it, though. We are covered by the blood of Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. And it's what connects us back to a God who created us to be with him. And nothing can change that. Life with Jesus starts now, and it lasts forever. And at this point, you may say, well, all right, well, what about the people who abuse the grace, who abuse this free gift, who say, yeah, I love that idea? What about the people that say that they trusted in Jesus, but there's no change in their lives? They just continue, assumingly, to keep on living in sin. Well, it's to go one or two ways. Either, number one, they were never really saved to begin with. And the other thing is that God will discipline them and judge them. That's not for you and I to do. Our salvation is between us and God. And we're called to preach the gospel and to show love and to support one another and to go through this life with one another. But it's not ours to judge or decide who is and who isn't saved. That's between God and them. And in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to share it with you today, but if you want to write it down, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 32, it talks about this, how God will discipline, how God will judge those who either, A, say they are and aren't, or those who never really responded to the gospel. God will judge. So here's what I would say to you. God knows. So don't focus on others. Just live out the eternal life that you've been given. And as you live out that eternal life that you've been given, what'll happen is they will begin to see that life in you. And maybe that'll cause them to come to reality of their salvation or whatever it might be. But you just worry about living out your eternal life here and now. And when it comes to sin and people abusing grace, we can go and look at Romans 6:15. It says, what then? Should we sin because we're not under law but under grace? So what they say, okay, we had the law, we had the Ten Commandments, and now Jesus came and, you know, he is the fulfillment of the law and he's given us grace. So if we accept that, can we just keep on sinning? Because that's what it seems like. I can just say, oh yeah, I believe in that, and then we'll just go on living our lives. And in this, Paul says, absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, right? For the wages of sin is death, or obedience leading to righteousness. For the gift of God is what is eternal life. Verse 17 says, but thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart the pattern of teaching you were transferred to, and having been liberated from sin, saved from sin, sin has been paid for you, you have become enslaved to righteousness. You have experienced eternal life here and now, and it's a righteous life that you're called to live today. So what I would say to you is eternal life, this gift of salvation, this isn't a license to go on sinning. As a matter of fact, it's a reason to serve. It's a reason to love. It's a reason to give. It's a reason to give hope. It's a reason to show love. It's a reason to live life to the fullest. And it's meant to come from a place of complete joy in the salvation and the resurrected life and the eternal life that you have found in Him. Really, it's what we believe here at Kairos, and we say all the time that we are called to make the most of every moment. Right? And we want to help you embrace Jesus in every moment of your life, because you have eternal life now, and you have the promise of eternity one day with Him. And so God wants you to experience abundant life in all that you're going through, the good, but also the bad, because He's here with you in all of it, and He wants to walk through it with you every single day, in every single moment. And it's that relational daily aspect with Him where we get to experience the Spirit's goodness in our lives. And the Spirit brings calm, and the Spirit brings peace, and the Spirit brings joy. When the world around us is chaotic, temptation is fierce, we're sealed by the Spirit. Nothing can take that away. We're called to live that out right here and right now today. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. Life with Jesus starts now, and it lasts forever. Today, I want to ask you specifically, honestly, do you believe that you've received it fully? Has there been full surrender? Has there been full repentance? Are you living out this eternal life daily? Is there joy in Him? Joy spent in worship and in prayer and in His word and even in your work? Or is it tiresome and draining? You know, sin, habitual, never repented of sin, will cause the things of God to feel like anything other than joy and freedom found in Him. So if you're here today and you still feel that perhaps you never fully surrendered or you never fully let go of the sin that separates you from a God who created you to be with Him, you feel the Spirit moving now, I'd say surrender. Surrender fully. Whatever it is that you're trying to overcome in your own power and your own strength, give up. And give it to Him. He's already paid the price. He's already defeated it. You don't have to. Don't carry it anymore. Give it to Him. Surrender control. Surrender worry. Surrender stress. Surrender anxiety. Surrender the what ifs. Fully accept His lordship of your life. And the fact that He is your salvation. If that's you today, here's what I want to do. I just want to walk through the gospel with you. Ready? God, He created you to be with Him, to have relationship with you. And He wants relationship with you no matter the baggage that you bring to it. He knows. He knows what you're carrying. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows your shame. And He still loves you. And desires a relationship with you. You see, our sin separates us from Him. And that sin, there's nothing you can do to remove it from your life. But paying the price, Jesus, He died, He took your place, and He rose again. And when He did that, not only did He offer you eternal life, He offered it for everyone who believes and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And that is a life, an eternal life. It starts now and it lasts forever. And what John says, and most of the New Testament and the Gospels say, is that he who believes in the one who sent Jesus will have salvation, will have eternal life right here and right now. Believe that in your heart. Profess that with your mouth, that he is both Lord and Savior. Full surrender to him brings freedom and the promise of eternal life here and now and for all of eternity. God, I'm beyond thankful for your love. Undeserved. For your mercy and grace that you've shown upon me. God, that you pulled me out of the deep, dark pit of sin that I was living in, and you rescued me and you redeemed me, and you continue to do that daily. I'm thankful for your grace. I'm thankful for this presence of your Spirit, without which I could not endure. I'm thankful for the people that you put around me to encourage me and lift me up. Ultimately, I'm thankful that I get to experience eternal life with you here and now. And in that life, I get to share it with others and pray and hope that they will experience it too. And I'm praying that someone experiences that freedom right here today, where their eternal life begins right here, right now, and for the rest of their life and for all of eternity. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for your Son. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.